Welcome back to the Coach's Corner with AGWSR football coach James Cope. As the season has come to a close for the Cougars, 1-7 overall. And Coach, we talked last week about how some games you were simply overmatched, and other games kind of a different story. But I guess what would you say are kind of the ultimate factors in this 1-7 season, a year that a lot of things that didn't necessarily go your way?
Yeah, a lot of factors. I talked to a lot of high school coaches this fall, and even some college coaches, and it's just been a bizarre year, throughout the Midwest. I mean, as far as stuff we've dealt with and things like that. I mean, first week of the season, that game. Nothing went the way I wanted it to as a head coach. Some of our actions on the field weren't the way I wanted it to, and so since week one, it's just been a bizarre year. I mean, because of the results of week one, we go play number two or number one at the time in Class A, West Hancock, up there, and we were down 3-2, one starter and two-way starters, and played a West Hancock team so well, their coach complimented us after the game. We lost 34-0, but I mean, if Coach Sanger tells you did a great job as a coaching staff and your team played really well, that does say something, because I mean, the Sangers at West Hancock, they just win. You know what I mean? Their bad year is still a playoff qualifying year. So, and so one of the good things about this season is all of our opponents in district play have complimented me after the game about how hard our kids play and that they don't quit. And I think, John, over the course of our interviews this season, that's one thing we've talked about. Regardless of record and how things have gone, we haven't quit. And again, I keep saying that's a tribute to our kids' character, and it is. I'll die on that hill. So, but again, you have a 1-7 record. I mean, we did not play West Hancock or Newman Catholic well. They're the top two teams in our district. Both playoff qualifiers that are going to host home games. We didn't play Nashua Plainfield well. They're a playoff qualifier, and they're hosting a game because I think West Fork plays them. So, so we have to, moving forward, figure out how we can play those teams better. And some of it's not our kids' fault. I mean, they're bigger, faster, and stronger than us. How tall a kid gets, that's up to God. That's not up to me. It's not up to them. How fast a kid is, coaches can influence that, but God makes somebody 4-4. I can't. You know what I mean? We can make you tense faster, maybe, but we're not going to make you 4-4. And I don't think any strength coach talks about that and says, oh yeah, I can get somebody that runs a six flat 40 and get them down to 4-4. You know what I mean? It's just, there's limitations to some of that. Some of it's God-given ability. So, but you've got to use what you have. Landon Dennis this year threw for over 1,000 yards passing. I don't know when the last time an AGWSR quarterback has gone for over 1,000 yards passing, and some of his incompletions, because of how tall he is, he just couldn't see over the line or the D line if they got their hands up. So, but he had a heck of a year. Being undersized anyway. We played West Fork, playoff team, to a 7-6 loss. We fell off the line on a 2-point conversion that would have been wide open. And we missed two field goals in that game. So right there, Belmont Clemmy, we didn't play a good first half, got down 28-0, came out with a different mentality and attitude, and won the second half 12 or 14-0, and lost, by two scores. And you look back on that game and you're like, man, if you'd have played four quarters like that, You know, it probably comes down to the final possession to see who wins the ball game. And then BCLUW, you look back on that game, we missed a field goal. I probably should have tried a field goal the second time on the 2 15-plus drives in the second half. And we just couldn't find an answer the last four offensive plays they had that got them into field goal range to win a game-winning field goal. So, hindsight is what hindsight is. I mean, you look at those games and you're like, you look at your what ifs and you're like, we weren't that far away from 500. You know what I mean? But again, hindsight doesn't change your record. I mean, we were 1-7, and so there's things we got to work on, things we got to keep improving, and things we got to look at that didn't work well again this year. So, but again, that's what the coaches do in the off season, and the players, they just got to keep getting stronger, so and faster, and of course, we help guide them in those avenues as well.
You bet. So a few things schematically with this team. You had mentioned your quarterback Landon Dennis throws for over 1,000 yards on the season. So yeah, when it comes to that offense and kind of getting the passing game going, you're almost 50-50 in your attempts, running and passing this year. How would you describe the strides you were able to make to kind of get to that point this year?
Well, it was what worked, in games. I mean, Landon had some games where he was close to or over 200 yards passing, and that's because going into the game, we felt that's what the opponents were going to give us, and so we took advantage of that. Again, that's just shows people that as coaches, my coaching staff are looking at film and figuring out what's going to work. And we moved Bo Starr around throughout the season. We started him at quarterback with mixed results. Then we moved him to wing back with mixed results, and he ends at receiver. Each time we moved him position wise, there were good and bad from it. Putting somebody else at the position. Like I said, Landon did great things at quarterback. Bo's did some good things at quarterback. Bo's a little bit taller. Landon throws a better ball. You know what I mean? So that's what I mean. There's give and take with that. So when we moved Bo to receiver, then we moved Will Hoffmeister from tight end to wing back, Lane Rose to tight end, starting at tight end instead of just rotating plays at tight end. And the kids all did the best they could do in those positions. And there's good and bad in that. And then we had some injuries in some games as well. And so that just all factors into those things. I mean, there were kids on the team that did well, but I think the reason we were 50-50, we had a couple games where we ran the ball really well. I mean, Clay Boosman went over 100 yards in a game. Eli Holmgard went over 100 yards in a game. So in those games, we could run the ball, so we ran the ball. And then in the games where the teams could stop our running, it sounds simple, but we threw the ball more successfully. So that's how we ended up with the happy medium of about 50-50.
All right, I'm going to take a quick time out here in the coach's corner with AGWSR football coach James Cobe. You got a time you got to be done by here?
Just 9 o'clock.
Okay.
We'll start
Well,
coming in.
all
We're
right.
good.
Sounds good. We'll keep it before then. So, all right, back at the coach's corner with AGWSR football coach James Cope. Brady Abbas ends up leading the district in tackles with 69 of them on the year. So certainly, a good tip of the cap to him with that. So when it comes to this team's defense, how would you describe things on that side of the ball here this year?
Well, we switched to a 3-4 this year. Because you can slide into a 5-man front and a 6-man front really without changing personnel and stuff. There's a few tweaks after running a 3-4 defense this year that I want to fix or add to, because I don't think we quite have everything we need. But, you know, I think the kids did a good job. You know, we kept a lot of the terminology the same, but roles changed a little bit. You know, and you know, losing Tristan Dennis the last two games of the season to that separated shoulder obviously hurt us on the back end there, because you know, Tristan was one of those kids, didn't play a lot until he was a senior, and just this year just blossomed, you know, and the safety position in that in our defense just was perfect for him. You know, Brady Abbas, yeah, he led the district in tackles, but he was also second in Class A in tackles. And, you know, for people who don't know, Brady's 5'6", 135 pounds, you know, and that's if he's got weights on his ankle. So, you know, because he wrestles the really low weights, and he just, he, you know, I kind of, you know, I told the district coaches when we were at the district meeting on Tuesday, and I'm like, you know, he was number four. I don't know if you guys ever saw him on the field, because, you know, all the big linemen were blocking, you know, blocking the view of him. But I mean, the coaches were very complimentary of all of our kids at the meeting. But, you know, they said, like, Brady, I mean, he just slipped through places and, you know, do a single leg ankle pick or whatever, you know, some wrestling move to get a kid on the ground, and was just a sure tackler. And, you know, quite often wrestlers are that way. So, yeah. And then, you know, why can Brady Abbas be second in Class A in tackles? Well, because, you know, you're rotating linemen through, like, Clay or Cale Dodd and Blake Willems and Gage Van Lowe and Dom Menard and Trevor Schooneman. And, you know, once we got Jariah Bowles back from his broken leg, I moved him to nose guard for his speed. And I mean, you know, Jariah is only 5'10", 170 pounds, but I mean, he was born for nose guard. You know, he's not a two gap player, but man, he's fast and slippery. So, you know, and our other linebackers were plugging holes too, so Brady could slip through Lane Rose and Will Hoffmeister and Eli Holmgard. So, and then our corners in the flats were Carl Hooger and Trace Eyton, and then we had Bo as the other safety. So again, the kids, you know, they made big plays. I mean, we had a blocked field goal against Lake Mills to secure the win there. We were close, couldn't get the block against BCLUW. I mean, there's so many things this year on offense and defense where we were offensively, we were a block away from bigger things happening than what they did. And on defense, you know, we were just inches away from getting off the field or getting that stop we needed to turn the tide too. So, you know, that's the biggest thing we have to improve before next year is our inconsistency. I mean, because as I told the kids all season, if we play at the highest level we can play at consistently, you know, I think more good things would have happened than they did this fall.
All right, just a few things left here. I do want to give you a chance to recognize your assistant coaching staff as well. I think at the start of the year, you said it was one of your larger staffs you've ever had, or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, we doubled it. You know, and here's the thing. Except for Bill Huebner, who's my offensive coordinator, and Riley Shipper, who's my special teams coach, no one else is paid. You know, so you have Lucas Hoyer drove over from Applington every day for free. You know, Coach Holmgard's been on the staff since Coach Eckhart was head coach as well, and has volunteered all of those years. My son David Cope gave up junior high head football to just be an assistant at the volunteer assistant at the high school level full time. So that's a special thing for a dad, to have your son on your coaching staff there every day at practice. You know, and that's something like Coach Sanger at West Hancock, he knows what that's like, you know, having coached for his dad, and now he's the head coach. And so that's just a special thing. And my daughter, Caitlin, not listed as an assistant, but she breaks down film, even though she was a volunteer volleyball coach assistant. So, and she's at every game making sure the stats and stuff are correct. Coach Sporleader's our new junior high football coach. He drove to all of the away games on his own dime. You know, even when we played at West Hancock, helping us out. And Coach Thiessen, he got his coaching authorization. He played soccer in high school, so he's been in charge of our kickers. So and he's learned offensive and defensive line from Coach Hubner and Coach Hoyer. So, and then Scott Williams, he has been helping at AGWSR longer than I've been here. And he was my little league coach when he was in college. So it's special to have him there too. It's special because I've coached both of his kids. So yeah, there's a lot of special connections. And again, I can't say enough. We have really good coaches, and a lot of them do it for the love of the game and the love of the AGWSR athletes, and they do it for free. So, they're special people. And, I've appreciated, having them on my staff, and especially the young coaches, because at 48 years old, bottom line, John, they just have more energy than I do, you know? And when they jump up and down and they land, their knees don't scream, why are you doing that? You know, I mean, so, and that's important enthusiasm that we need as well. So, it's great. It was so much fun working with all of them this year, and they made our kids a lot better.
All right, just about out of time here today, but any final thoughts you'd like to share here to kind of wrap up the season?
No, I mean, again, there was good and there was bad. The record doesn't show as much good as there was, and it might indicate that there was more bad than there actually was. Then bottom line, I'm not happy at 1-7 the last 2 years and 3-6 the year before that. And, you know, we need to figure out, the little things we need to do better, to make sure that stuff starts getting turned around. So, we're going to work on that in the off season and, you know, look forward to August.
You bet. AGWSR football coach James Cope joining me here on the Coach's Corner. Thanks for the time every single week here this season, Coach. Always a pleasure to talk at AGWSR football with you, and we'll catch you around here in the offseason.
Thanks, John. I appreciate you as well.
All right, the Coach's Corner will continue momentarily.